Hello, and welcome to the RPG Rundown. My name is Seth.
And I'm Jeff. From Dungeons to Deep Space, we've got the systems and the stories for your table.
Today, on episode 11, we talk about our top 10 campaign settings for TTRPGs that we are excited to try, as well as take a look at recent TTRPG news, and we're just going to dive right in today, so... Jeff, why don't you kick us off with the news?
Yeah, so two things that I'm pretty excited about actually might come up a little bit later in my selections, but Modiphius Entertainment actually just announced Fallout miniatures for their TTRPG. So if you're familiar with the Fallout video games, there is also a TTRPG, and they are coming out with minis, and they look incredible, honestly. And kind of spinning right off of that, Alchemy RPG, which we talked about in one of our recent videos, also has is also getting or is launching their Fallout content. And so if you guys have played the games or you've been watching the TV show, there is a TTRPG and they're seeming to be doing a lot of work on it. So kind of excited to see what's coming from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And they this coincides with the Fallout TV series coming out on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So if you've checked that out, you know, it's I've watched the first episode. It's mm-hmm. pretty good. It's pretty good.
Two episodes in. Still not too far yet.
Yeah. So, you know, I've played some of the Fallouts. I actually played like 1 and 2 a long time ago.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then I have played a little bit of 3 and a little bit of mm-hmm. 76. But I mean, when I say a little bit, like an hour or two of each kind of thing, it's not been very much. So.
So I started with 3, and I'm one of those gamers that have hundreds of hours in Fallout games. I've played 3, 4, New Vegas, 76, hundreds of hours, and I've never beaten a single Fallout game. I'm a side quest hog. Like, I just get so deep into side quests that I never finish the main story. I apologize for that to everyone watching this, but I love the games nonetheless.
Well, I'm not surprised.
No, that is definitely me. If you've ever been to one of my streams, that's... ADHD kicks in about halfway through every game, so that happens.
That's all good. Okay, a couple more news items here. Let's see, you've got Call of Cthulhu has a board game on Kickstarter. They're Horror on the Orient Express, and it has funded over 1,800%, 1,800% of their original Kickstarter, which it's not the TTRPG, but it is, you know, because that is like a world famous RPG setting. It's a board game that has come out, you know, and it does look pretty cool. It does have some miniatures in it and stuff like that. So if you like Call of Cthulhu at all, that is going to be your jam. And then also Seventh Son launched Sake on Kickstarter, which is a Japanese themed TTRPG, but it's Sake stands for Sorcerers, Adventurers, Kings and Economics, and it's a combination of a strategy game and a fantasy RPG. It says, yeah, oh, it sounds awesome. It sounds, it's an early modern fantasy setting where players can explore a world of muskets, magic, rising capitalism, and declining feudalism. That sounds pretty awesome to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds great.
I don't know, you know, exactly what form it's going to take. It almost looks like it's a combination of like a Risk and mm-hmm. an RPG game kind of thing.
That sounds like a great combination, though. Like, that sounds really fun. I love strategy games, so combining the two sounds phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We also have a Hit Point Press come out with a field guide for Floral Dragons. Then we have had a couple updates coming out to Daggerheart, one of the games that we have loved here with the 1.3. And then yet another game that we love and we've got to actually test play was DC20, and the 0.6.1 update has come out. So if you've guys been looking at any of those games, make sure you check out those updates to stay informed on the changes that have been made. I actually have to admit, I've not gotten a chance to take a look at either one just yet, but we'll be very soon.
I haven't got to look into the documents of them. I've mm-hmm. watched a video on the Daggerheart 1.3.
Okay.
And actually, our you know, our fellow TTRPG lovers over at Pocket Cast or Pocket Dimension, I've watched their breakdown of it, and they did a great job. And it's interesting. They gave an alternate way to do the initiative with the action tracker.
But this was my expectation, I think.
Yes, yes. Now they didn't get away with their original.
Okay.
They just basically gave an alternate version.
Okay.
There's a couple other things they changed. They changed advantage and disadvantage. So in Daggerheart, advantage and disadvantage had been in 1.2 that you added a d6 if you had advantage, or you subtracted a d6 if you had disadvantage. Mm-hmm. Currently in 1.3, they basically said, well, if you have advantage or disadvantage, you add another hope die. So you'll be rolling 3d12.
Okay.
If you have advantage, and you roll, it's an extra hope die, but then you get to choose which one you take.
Okay, so like almost like a traditional d20 advantage, but now with d12.
But and the reason they say you get to choose is because it's not just the higher. Like you could roll a lower hope die, but it might be a critical success. You know, if it's doubles with the fear. So.
So with disadvantage, you're rolling an extra fear?
No, so with disadvantage, you're still rolling a hope die, but you have to take the lower one.
Mm, okay.
So in that one, that's still the same, you know, and it's lowering your chance of hope, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. Rolling high.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
So that makes sense. But then here's the thing that I wasn't thrilled about. Apparently, they also changed the help action to, instead of, again, being a D6 plus, you know, added on, it's another hope die.
Okay.
And I get the logic behind it, but whenever somebody, you know, helps someone else in like 5e and gives them advantage, I've seen it too many times where both of you roll like 3. You know, you know, or
right.
5.
You both roll poorly.
And so yeah. Then, even though you're supposed to have this, you know, very swingy advantage, it fails. And so I always like the, well, you always get to add on the help. So I don't know. And when I want to give feedback on it, and I feel like I would say something like, keep the advantage. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But on the help action, keep it as like,
an addition dice.
So,
yeah. I agree with that. I do think that when you're helping, it should automatically be an addition. I mean, there's a chance that you help and then add nothing to the scenario, right?
Right, yeah.
And so, yeah, so. I mean, I do see why they're doing it. I feel like they're trying to still simplify the game down. And so removing that additional D6 from any rolls, it's just another mechanic someone doesn't have to remember.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's probably the direction they're going, is just simplifying a little bit more.
And thankfully, they've said that this is not like a one-to-one change. Like, this is a, we're just trying this other thing out. So maybe it doesn't stick. Maybe everyone likes the other one better. So I definitely appreciate their openness.
Yeah, me too.
It's a little, not frustrating, but I'm just like, oh, I don't have time to test this out already.
I know.
It's only been a month, and they've already released 1.3. So that's okay. DC 20, I have not had a chance to check it out at all. I expect that the dungeon coach has added more to it, because I feel like every time he's given an update, it's been adding more to it. Not, you know, he's not like necessarily like letting us test one thing and then taking it away and giving us something else to test.
Right.
It's just been, let's continually add more to it. I'm excited to check that out though. So
no, absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, that's just kind of a brief rundown of the news. We do not pretend to be a breaking news podcast by any means. These are things that we're excited about, that we found interesting. That Hit Point Press Field Guide to Floral Dragons, by the way, I keep seeing Instagram ads for it. Like, straight up, I keep getting it. And I do love Hit Point Press. And so, you know, I may have to check it out. There's still quite a bit of time left on that one, but, well, in our main topic today, we're going to talk about our top 10, campaign settings. And this is across TTRPGs. This is not mm-hmm. just 5e. This is not, you know, just one system.
Right.
These are just unique okay. settings that we are excited to try. And so I've chosen five, and Jeff has chosen five.
Indeed.
And we're going to talk about those today. I'm going to start off with one that I backed on Kickstarter several years ago at this point. Probably like 4 or 5 years ago. I just have never played it because it is a 5e setting. Mm-hmm. But I backed it on Kickstarter, and it's called Ouroboros, Coils of the Serpent. And it was created by Warchief Gaming. If you don't okay. know, Warchief Gaming was created as a like tabletop publishing company by Chris Metzen, who was the former World of Warcraft like lead design guy. But he grew up playing TTRPGs. He grew up playing world, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. and basically. Whenever he kind of retired from Blizzard and World of Warcraft, being the lead designer. And when, in his retirement, he picked back up his D&D game. And then him and some other people, they started Warchief Gaming. And again, I'm not kidding. This is like four to six years ago.
Yeah.
They ended up publishing this campaign setting. I backed it. It's awesome. Very cool, unique, like character races and some, subclasses for, you know, 5e, but very cool.
Right.
Sorry. As we're getting into this, we need to go to our presentation. We do have websites to show off. So if you're watching the, if you're watching the video, please check it out. Not all the websites are going to be as cool looking as this first one, but. Mm-hmm. But I do have it, and I still want to play it sometime, at least a one shot, because it is such a cool thing. There's this really cool system where it's like tattoos, that have basically the kind of like infinite serpent eating its tail. And that's the whole coils of the serpent thing. And so each race in the game has a different way that they kind of like interpret this world ending, magic system. And so players can get this tattoo and then they like go super hard into like gaining power and I think eventually it's like the world ends and then it starts over. Really? So yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, there's some really cool races and class stuff in there. And like I said, the wield the powers of the Ouroboros. So yeah. It's really cool. I really like it. So, but what's your first one?
First one I'm going to go into is Alien, the role-playing game. And I should probably start with, I've been reading, The Fifth Wave. I just started the book, but I'm about halfway through it right now. Nice. And it is an apocalyptic alien game. And I noticed as I made my list, I'm like, man, all these games are kind of dark. but Alien is the first one there, and I just thought how cool it would be to play in a, I don't know, an alien apocalyptic type game. And as I kind of searched around, like I was kind of hoping to find a TTRPG based on the Fifth Wave, and there wasn't one, unfortunately. Someone fix that, please. I did find Alien, the role-playing game, and just kind of off the website, what the little bit of description it gives, it says, space is vast, dark, and not your friend. Gamma rays, neutrino bursts, erupt from dying stars to cook you alive. Black holes tear you apart, and the void itself boils your blood and seizes your brain. Like, I mean, some fun, vivid things happening here. And it says that the game itself can be played in, like, two distinct game modes, a cinematic play based on pre-made scenarios that emulate a dramatic arc of an alien film. So, you know, the alien films, and then designed to be played in a single session. Of course, right? But then there's also campaign play. So it's designed for longer, continuous play, like your traditional campaigns. And it is much more sandbox style. Mm-hmm. And so as I was kind of thinking through, like, unique scenarios, I just thought about, all the movies like I've watched and the things that excited me. And I realize I really like apocalyptic stuff. I don't, maybe it's my love for the Fallout games that did that to me. I don't know.
You know,
And
Jeff, I've known this for a long time.
yeah, I don't know why. It's just, civilization's boring. We should try not having it and see what happens. No, we'll do that in a fan, like in a fantasy TTRPG setting.
I mean,
But yeah.
it's very, it's a popular trope, the whole, post-apocalyptic setting, almost like in fantasy RPGs, the trope of every character has a dark and sad backstory, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is funny because I try to break that trope with every character I create. Now, all
Same,
my characters, I
same.
try to have just a happy, like,
All my
he sends
characters
letters
still have
home
their
and
parents.
yeah, his mom like sends him cookies like on the trip. She doesn't, no one even knows how he got them, but they just show up there. It's amazing. But yes, I actually think I'm trying to remember. I think the only one on my list might be my very last one that is not apocalyptic. I could be wrong on that. I am wrong on that. I have two that's not apocalyptic.
That's true. That's
So,
true.
but okay. So Alien, that's going to be my first one. I think that one
Awesome.
would be really cool. The setting sounds really exciting.
Well, so my second one is another 5e setting, and it is called Iron Kingdoms by Privateer Press. And they've had the setting Iron Kingdoms for a while, but it was kind of they had their own TTRPG system. I don't really know much about it, but they've about a year ago, two years ago, they started a Kickstarter for Iron Kingdoms Requiem, which is their 5e translation for it. And it's a really cool setting that is essentially like a very high industrial, high arcane magic kind of setting. So very not, kind of steampunk, but not in the same way, more like steampunk and arcane combined. So it's got like,
Interesting.
Kind of you've got like mechs and mecha characters and soot covered cities. There's a gun mage. I mean, who doesn't want a gun mage, right?
Absolutely. Sounds amazing.
Firearms, steam jacked commanding warcasters. I don't know. All that just sounds awesome. So
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
I'm pretty sure I actually picked up something for that on like a free RPG day and was, just like, oh, I've got to try this sometime. So, haven't yet, but I'm excited to do so. Yeah, so it just looks cool. I mean, like if you're looking at the website, it's very, oh my gosh, what is that? TV, what is, there's like a there was a anime, something like Alchemy, something. Full
Fullmetal
Metal
Alchemist,
Alchemist.
yes. As
That's what it
soon
is.
as you said it, I knew the one you were talking about, but
It's a
the name
very,
escaped me.
yes, I think that it is a very Full Metal Alchemist. Kind of, not modern like Full Metal Alchemist, because that's more of a modern setting. But yeah. So,
Nice.
no, it just looks awesome. So,
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, this is like this kind of the splash screen that just, I don't know. I think it's fantastic. There's like a little goblin or something, with a big mech behind it, and then I don't know, just. There's like a dwarf with goggles and a pistol.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, looks fantastic. So,
Nice.
but what's your second one?
So number two for me is, I guess it's not like a brand new setting. I guess kind of an old setting actually. But as I was kind of just reading through some different settings, this one jumped out at me. And again, it's kind of apocalyptic, but within the 5e fantasy setting. And that is Dark Sun. And just directly from the website, it says, far beyond the well-trodden path of the slightly generic high fantasy walked by the Forgotten Realms, Greyhawk, or even the stranger cosmic realms of Spelljammer and Planescape, lies a world of fire, sand, and blood. And on this particular website, they described it as fantasy Mad Max, and I had to check this out. This sounds amazing. It says, "It's a cruel, dying world, a world without gods or hope. Welcome to Athos, an ancient planet in its final death throes." It says, "Like a cigarette burned down to the filter, the sun glows like a dull red ember in the vast empty sky. Welcome to the world of dark sun. Brutal place where scarcity, enslavement, and struggle alleviated only by death or life's only guarantees." And then there's a lot of like psionic powers that come there. And it says, you know, a really like interesting take on how magic works. Mm-hmm. But again, this is sort of that fantasy apocalyptic style where it is, you're in a dying world. It's kind of like a Mad Max, Wild West, every humanoid for themselves scenario. And I think just something like that sounds really, really fun. Like the idea of playing in this world where, you know, all hope is actually gone. So everybody's just out for themselves in this moment. And like you go, you don't know what towns are safe. You don't know if anyone around you is safe. I don't know. I think like to me, that sounds really interesting to play or even to DM in a setting. Just, I don't know, a bit outside of the ordinary. Still the fantasy, still, I'm assuming the similar like races and stuff, but mm-hmm. Interesting in just the concept. I don't know.
Yeah, to me, that's really cool. It was a Wizards of the Coast setting for sure.
Right, yeah.
But they haven't done anything since fourth edition for it. So
sure. That makes sense. So not 5e, 4e then. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So there is stuff for 4e out there. I'm mm-hmm. sure you could probably find, you know, maybe some used campaign setting books on it even.
Yeah.
Like I know like on DriveThruRPG they have it mm-hmm. there. So
nice.
But yeah, so I've always been interested in it, but it's never been one that I've just been like, I didn't know much about it kind of thing. So mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. It was one like I liked the idea because it was kind of based on, you know, at least D&D. Of course I haven't played 4e, so I don't know exactly, but I was thinking this is a cool setting that I already somewhat know how to play, which I think all of my other ones are using different systems that I don't think I've really played. So that one, but it sounded cool. I don't know. But yeah, what do you got next?
Yeah, so next I have Shadowrun, which is originally, so this is an old setting and game. It is its own TTRPG game system. Originally came out from FASA back in the day, but it's currently controlled by Catalyst Game Labs, which you all have probably heard me talk about before, and you'll hear me talk about again before the end of the episode. But they have their sixth world, which is basically sixth edition of Shadowrun out right now.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it is that full blend of cyberpunk meets fantasy. Like, okay. So it's
I like that.
It's a full cyberpunk, you know, futuristic sci-fi cities, but with you know, magic and stuff like that as well. So, Catalyst they have a lot of stuff for it, actually. There's a beginner box for the new setting. I actually got a recent Humble Bundle. Maybe I've gotten two over the last few years for 5th and 6th edition. But but yeah, they've got a lot of cool stuff. And I'll probably pick up the beginner box just because I'm a sucker for beginner boxes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so they're... I don't know. I always found it fascinating. I loved the, so growing up playing Battletech, okay. Mm-hmm. In the FASA catalogs, there was always the Shadowrun section because, you know, they would have catalogs and stuff of all of their products. And I always was curious by it, but I never played the actual RPG. However, the computer game RPGs that were turn-based that came out within the last 10 years, probably close to 10 years ago. Fantastic turn-based RPG games, and there's three of them. You can get them on sale, usually all three of them for like less than 20, 30 bucks a lot of times. But they're just so good.
Right.
And so, yeah, they're award-winning computer games for it. But that's definitely how I, you know, piqued my interest again.
Nice.
So definitely want to check that out. But yeah, what is your number three?
I'm going to preface this. My next three, I have three left, and literally those can be in any order. My next three, I am extremely, extremely excited about. They're very, very high on my list of games I want to play. But this next one is, I don't know how well known it is, but as a huge fan of the show Supernatural and always wanting to channel my inner Winchester, the game setting Monster of the Week sounds amazing. it's in the write-up for it. It says Monster of the Week is a standalone action horror RPG for 3 to 5 people. Hunt high school beasties as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, travel the country to bring down unnatural creatures like the Supernatural Winchester Brothers, or head up the government investigations like Mulder and Scully. It says the game uses a simple yet flexible rule set that focuses on collaborative storytelling and improvisation. Instead of worrying about complex mechanics, you'll be diving headfirst in investigations, facing off against terrifying creatures, and uncovering the secrets of the supernatural. This to me sounds amazing. Like, if you, at least the way I'm picturing in my head, I haven't played it. Maybe someone can correct me in the comments. I'm just imagining like sitting down every week with your group and the DM setting up and laying out the clues for what you're going to be fighting. You've got to go hunt down, track down this monster, figure out its weaknesses, figure out its strengths, do your I'm imagining channeling my inner Winchester and like hunting down a big bad monster, trying to figure out how to defeat it and not die in the process. And I don't know, that's some of my favorite parts of TTRPGs anyway, is, you know, finding big bad things and figuring out how to beat them.
So, one of my players in Hearth and Hammer, CJ, does play Monster of the Week.
Ooh, okay.
So I don't know, maybe we'll have to have him, and he does listen to and watch the show.
Okay.
So
CJ, hit me up.
CJ
may
have to try to schedule a Monster of the Week one shot or something.
So. Oh man, I would be so down.
So
absolutely.
I do like that. That's like a fun setting for sure.
Yeah, that sounds amazing to me. With that said, what do you got for us?
Awesome. So my number two most excited is one that I know you're excited for as well, Jeff. But it is the Stormlight TTRPG that is coming out by Brotherwise Games. Let me where'd it go? Here we go. So Stormlight, if you don't know what Stormlight is, okay, there are a series of novels called the Stormlight Archives. They are fantastic. You should read them. If you don't want to read them, you should listen to the audiobooks.
The audiobooks are excellent too.
The audiobooks are so well done, but they are all 50 plus hours each.
Oh yeah. I will say I've listened to all these books, and I went to McKay's the other day and found the book. The first time I'd actually seen the book in person.
It's super thick.
And I've read through all of them. I'm on the last book right now, and I hold it in my hand, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Man, we've got to talk. We haven't talked about it in a while either.
We have not talked about it in a while. No, I'm on Oathbringer. Is that the last one?
It's the last one for now, I think.
For now. Okay. Yeah, no, I am about halfway through Oathbringer right now.
Did you read all the middle ones between them? Like the small ones? Okay. Like 2.5, 3.5. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The novellas are. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. We're going to have to talk about that.
Oh,
maybe a little bit after this. But
all right. Sounds good.
But no. So the Stormlight Archive, we know that they're coming out with. They've already come out with some miniatures, or they're going to have more miniatures. And Brotherwise Games is coming out with the RPG. Super excited for that.
Very excited.
Somehow Brotherwise, someone from them, finds out that we are excited about this, we will happily test this out.
For you. No.
Send us a review copy.
Tough job. Someone has to do it. And, you know, we volunteers tribute. We'll do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Bridge 4.
Bridge 4.
You'll know what we're talking about if you've read the books.
If you've read the books, absolutely.
But yes, super excited for that. So it says coming in 2024. Don't know anything else about it. Although, funny enough, Brotherwise Games uses some of the same plastic manufacturers in China that my Battletech Kickstarter does. And so they put out videos of like packing up products for Stormlight, like for the miniatures and stuff.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, so anyway.
Nice.
If you, again, so again, Stormlight Archive is written by Brandon Sanderson. Yeah, fantastic author. He's got several stories and series of stories that could be amazing TTRPG campaign settings. This is just the first they're putting out. I know they're going to put out more. I would love his sci-fi one. Mistborn. I haven't even read that one yet, which some people are like going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you haven't read that one yet. I need to do that.
I'm actually, as soon as I finish Oathbringer, I'm going to start The Reckoners, which is his superhero series. And if you know me, I'm a huge superhero fan.
You are.
At least my understanding is it's definitely not your traditional superhero. It kind of seems like the people with powers might not be the good guys.
Interesting.
And so
I have read his sci-fi series. It's fantastic. Not nearly as long, so you could power through it super easy. But Mistborn is I think on par with length and breadth as Stormlight, and so
Mistborn I've heard a lot of good things about.
I've got to dive into that. So, okay, so that is my number two, and my number one we'll get to in a second. It won't be a big surprise. But what's your number two at the moment?
My number two again. It could be swapped in and out with number one, but I think my number one is holding its spot for now. Number two for me is going to be the Fallout TTRPG, and so we talked a little bit about it at the beginning. We have the minis coming out. We have Alchemy RPG stuff coming for it. The Fallout TTRPG looks amazing. I mean, if you've played the Fallout games, you know the universe already. If you can just imagine having all of the freedom that you desire to create a character, because in the Fallout TTRPG, you are not limited to play a human, or you don't have to be delivering a message. You don't have to be from a vault. No, no. In the Fallout TTRPG, you can play everything from a human to a super mutant to a ghoul to even a Mr. Handy robot if you choose. It is wide open in what you can play. You create your own survivor. You get your powers. You can be part of the Brotherhood, right? You can be a Wasteland survivor. You can be a raider, an ex-raider. Like, you just tons and tons of flexibility all within the Fallout universe. It says that you can use the iconic weapons and armor and chems and items that are from the games. It utilizes a 2d20 system. Which sounds really interesting to me. It says here, I just have a write-up, it says a role-playing rule set that supports both story-led adventures and detailed gameplay. Uses action points to power your incredible Wasteland Wanderers and augment their actions with your fantastic perks. So it sounds like a really good system. It's made by Modiphius Entertainment. And I don't know. Again, I'm a huge Fallout fanboy, and so the fact that you come into this and you can play as Mr. Handy Robot just sounds absolutely amazing.
I don't even know how you do that, but yeah.
I don't either, but I'm interested in finding out.
Well, like we said, it is on Alchemy RPG. It is one of their enhanced game settings, which is awesome. Also, too, for those of you who remember, the Alchemy RPG team, they're getting really close to their 1.0 launch. However, this is, I think, the first system to use their new system builder.
Ooh, really?
Which is awesome because their system builder, it's not going to be available right at launch, but I'm hoping within the next couple months of, you know, any time, basically. But within the next few months, I think it's supposed to come out. And basically, their system builder, they kind of shifted it to where they can start pumping out more systems faster, and not just the like programming developers can convert systems over. Anyone would be able to create a system in here, which is why it's going to be given to us. They've got page layouts. I'm super pumped about it, honestly, because I will be doing a whole bunch of custom stuff for, you know, my own settings, custom classes, custom races, all that stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Huge. So that's awesome.
But yeah, that, you know, that looks fantastic. It really does.
So that is my number two. So now are we going to your number one?
Yeah, let's do it, shall we? So my number one is not really going to be a surprise. All right. If you have followed the show or you know me at all, I am a huge fan of the BattleTech / MechWarrior universe. Okay. It is the 40th anniversary of BattleTech as a game / universe setting. It came out in 1984. And I have played like one session of the game. And it only kind of went okay. It wasn't really even like a full session. I don't know. I've never done it in person. This was like online. So I am pumped. And this is something that we're going to do this year, Jeff. At some point, we're going to do it. But we're going to play MechWarrior. Okay. We're going
to
do it.
I'm wanting to play.
Absolutely. So I'm super pumped. I want to play Destiny, which is their newest version. It's a little more rules light than the kind of like crunchy, closer to D&D rules of A Time of War. Because I have two RPGs that are out right now. Okay. Technically speaking, but I want to play Destiny. I want to give it a fair shot because I haven't really played it yet. With one caveat, if you know, I'm not going to do their queue system, just because it's like basically where you have everyone acts as like the GM at different points. Okay. And I think unless you have a group of GMs playing,
right,
then it's just not feasible. Like it needs a little bit of guidance. So I think just going to run Destiny kind of as a standard. But yes, I love the BattleTech setting. It is so rich and so deep. In fact, right now, launched 2 or 3 days ago as of recording, like the beginning of April, they launched a new Humble Bundle for BattleTech Fiction. And it is 130 published books for $30.
Man.
Because what they did was they had a 60 book collection last year in 2023. Well, they included it with another 70 book collection. So it's like 130 books total.
Right.
So I just bought the 70 book collection because I did get the one from last year.
Nice.
But yeah, honestly, you cannot beat it. It is a lot of books.
Yeah, a lot of
obviously, they're all digital.
Right.
But seriously, if you have any interest at all, totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and it's can't really beat that. But yeah, MechWarrior BattleTech from Catalyst Game Labs.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, again, they started as FASA as well back in the day, and I've been playing in the universe since 89, so you know, it's surprising that I haven't played an RPG in it, but at the same time, it's because the way the BattleTech board game, tabletop game, miniatures to game is set up, you kind of get some RPG elements, like RPG light elements in that.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. But tell us your
final system. Number one. Yeah. So my number one, this is my second non-post-apocalyptic game on my list. But as I was thinking about systems and things that, you know, I'm really excited to test out, really excited to play, I knew that something superhero had to be up there. And this game is actually like that sweet spot for me where it is like superhero-esque, but still dark and gritty. And that game is City of Mist. Made by Son of Oak Game Studio. It is a tabletop role-playing game of ordinary people with legendary powers is the way that it's rolled out. So it is that kind of nitty-gritty, there's a word I'm going for, like old Batman comics. Anyway, it has like kind of that feel. I'll read to you what it says here. It says City of Mist is set in a modern city where legends are real people. Heroes, tricksters, and monsters are reborn inside ordinary people. Regular Joes and Janes gain supernatural powers connected to their legendary alter egos. This is your city, gritty, corrupt, and rife with magic and mystery. Your City of Mist character is a one-of-a-kind combination of a myth, legend, or fairy tale. This is so cool with the character creation. A modern-day walk of life, like a detective, vigilante, or homemaker. And if you go to the website, there is just a scrolling list of different characters and what they are and like kind of what they're affiliated with, like the myths and stuff that create them. I don't know. For me, this game is at the top of my must-play list that I want to test out in 2024. It to me just seems very interesting. It has that nitty-gritty TTRPG feel where you're in sort of a modern world, but you're playing, they're called, your character's called a Rift, where you're like this modern day combination of like, a regular human, but then you have like the powers of a fairy tale or a fantasy or a myth or a legend. So this could be Robin Hood, or it could be like Thor, or a Greek god or something. You could be inspired and you kind of get similar abilities and what they call like tags. Like, I don't know. For me, this one has been really, really interesting. I re really want to play it. The setting looks amazing. And I know that you actually already have a lot of the stuff we need to play and test this one.
I do. I actually backed this in digital when it first came out. Again, this plus 5 years ago at this point. But they've come out with expansions since then, and there's a lot of stuff for it, and so yeah, I'm definitely excited to try it out too. It definitely has kind of inspired by superpowered noir, like
Yes,
detective.
noir.
That's
That's the word I was looking
noir,
for that I
yes.
can never think of. Yes.
Yeah, and they use that term as well. So,
They do, yeah.
But yeah, it's I love the look of it too. It's fantastic.
I do too. It looks amazing. And it is actually on Alchemy VTT as well now.
It
So
is.
it's on
Absolutely.
Alchemy. I think it's actually on like Roll20 and Foundry as well. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's out there to play. There's some free downloads for Quick Start. There's online play. Like I said, definitely a Roll20, Alchemy for sure. But they also just released, and this is just a little hint, Legends in the Mist, which is
Legend.
their upcoming fantasy
Yes.
game. And I did back that as well. I'm super excited. So,
Nice. All right.
but no, City Mist, yeah, it's super cool looking. I've just never had anybody to play with it until we started this podcast and started talking
Exactly.
about it. So yeah, we're definitely gonna have to try that out. So
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I said, this is for me top of my list, and yeah, I'm excited to try this one out. And whenever I think of, unique settings, this actually was one of the games that kind of inspired my idea for this, like this show is like, hey, what about some unique settings? As I was thinking, like other TTRPGs outside of, the traditional.
yeah, absolutely. Well, we've gone those are our top 10 setting slash our game systems that we're excited to try. And so hopefully we can get to at least half of those this year.
Right.
It's been a rough start to the year a
It
little
has been a
bit
rough start,
with
yeah.
trying to schedule some things. Jeff and I have been busy.
Absolutely.
But we're gonna make it work. We're gonna get some playtime in soon. So we'll keep you informed on that. But as far as things that we have been playing, I don't think either one of us had a whole lot this go
No,
round.
the busyness has also spread into normal game time, so
Yes.
we actually did not get in a session this week.
Yeah, we didn't either last week, and so I think we should have something going next week, and
Yeah,
I am
us as
excited for it, but
Absolutely. And I
well,
should say, but just before we wrap up, if you are
yeah.
watching on YouTube and you have the ability to comment, then let us know if there's any unique settings that you would add to the list that you think we should check out. Because
Absolutely.
we're always interested in looking into other systems as well and other settings.
Yeah, absolutely. Please, please let us know. Let's see real quick. Let me make sure that I have this pulled up. Don't think I have it just yet. Where did I? Oh, I know. I know.
What's up?
Sorry, I was trying to find. I was trying to find Love Thy Nerd's recent partnership,
Oh,
but
right.
somehow I don't have it saved to show on the YouTube. So forgive me on that. But we are partnered with Love Thy Nerd. We are part of the LTN podcast network. And just wanted to let you guys know that Love Thy Nerd has partnered with, and the RPG Rundown is now also streaming on the Glu Network. That's the GLU Network, which is streaming platform. It's a streaming platform available on Roku, smart TVs, as well as iPhone and Android apps. I think even Xbox has it.
Nice.
But yeah, it's basically it exists to unlock the inspirational value of faith-centric programming. Partnering with Christian content creators like Love Thy Nerd and the RPG Rundown. LTN is proud to join our friends God Squad Church and Unity Gaming as the first group of nerd culture channels on the platform. So download it today if you have one of those places to download it from. So.
Absolutely. I've actually been hopped on there and been looking at some of the stuff, all the content on there. Really, really impressed.
Yeah,
It's cool.
I
Cool
need to download it so I can
app.
just see us on there too.
Yeah,
So
I did. I turned Us on for my kids. They were
nice.
not as entertained as hopefully you are, but
Yeah.
they did see us.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you all for joining us today on the RPG Rundown. We appreciate the support and the comments and the likes on not only the YouTube videos over on Love Thy Nerd's YouTube channel, but also any comments, reviews, on your podcast platform of choice. You can also reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Just do a search for the RPG Rundown. Make sure that the logo matches ours. There's, it's not quite an original name, but we definitely have made it our own, and so we're happy to engage with you guys there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, well, with that, I think we're going to come to our close. Jeff, you got anything else before we close it out?
No, I think that's it. I think really cool list of games that we'd love to try to check out. And again, if you have any suggestions, make sure you leave them in the comments.
Absolutely. Well, from our table to yours, thank you for joining the RPG Rundown.
Until next time, may your rolls be epic and your stories legendary.